Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Ho, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Baby, don't you ever touch my cup! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, we're live. I didn't do it.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
I know what you want and what you're thinking.
Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9 and also myklgr.com. Promised a little baseball talk here today. So we will discuss some initial rumblings in the MLB hot stove, but got to talk about the events that took place in that football game last night between the Steelers and the Bengals. Also, that Timberwolves loss that is continuing to become a common theme for this team in the early portion of the season. So we got all that coming up today, plus plenty more. So let's get right to it here today by taking a look at our top sports headlines. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today. The Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in a big game Monday Night Football last night as the Bengals get out of the gate early to a 17-0 lead. A very scary situation with Ryan Shazier as he goes in to try to make a tackle and ends up getting injured and leaving the game with a spinal injury. We'll update on his progress later on today. But after that, more like a boxing match than a football game as Vontaze Burfict knocked out of the game on a hit by Juju Smith-Schuster. And then Antonio Brown takes a hit to the head in the end zone on a touchdown catch that results in both Smith-Schuster and Bengals safety George Iloka being suspended for a game, and really boils over to what has become a concerning issue here for the NFL, that being the just completely inconsistent discipline handed down by the league. And that's going to be a big topic here on the show today because I'm not really too happy about what we saw last night. So we'll talk about that today. Also, something that has kind of been grinding my gears here today is the Minnesota Timberwolves last night playing against a Memphis Grizzlies team that had lost 11 games in a row. I know the Timberwolves were on the second game of a back-to-back, but we're starting to see the same issues pop up game in, game out. Timberwolves just looked like they had nothing left in the tank last night. And that might have something to do with the fact that the starters are playing 40 minutes a night. But Jimmy Butler able to keep the team in for a little bit longer, I think, than they would normally have been in it. But nonetheless, the Timberwolves come up short last night. in a stretch of games where they really should have been able to win all of them convincingly, but they win by 6 against the Clippers, and they lost last night to Memphis with a couple more winnable games coming up. And if the Timberwolves are going to be a big factor in the Western Conference playoffs, they got to come away with these wins. So we'll see if they can get back on track. Earlier, while we were on break, the college football playoff field was set amidst controversy, as Alabama was one of the teams that was able to get into the college football playoff despite some outcry from Ohio State fans, amongst others. And it should make for some good matchups in the games. But you look at Clemson, also have Oklahoma, then Alabama and Georgia. Should be some interesting matchups, but I think a lot of people felt like there were some teams that were left out that should have been able to get in to the college football playoff, but that's always the case in those games. Seattle has made some progress in terms of trying to attract an NHL franchise, agreeing to renovate a currently vacant arena that Seattle has. Not necessarily vacant, but if they renovate that arena, it certainly is a step towards getting an NHL franchise in Seattle, which I think would be great. Seattle certainly a great sports city, and I think they should definitely have a chance to have all four major pro teams. And the Minnesota Wilds at the Kings tonight, trying to get a little bit of a roll going. Also tonight, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, number 14 in the nation, they are taking on Nebraska on the road. Those are your top sports headlines here for today. When we come back, we'll start off by talking a little bit about that Monday night meltdown by the Cincinnati Bengals, and also just some of the other ripple effects from that game. That's all coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Just a bit outside.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, and a wild one last night between the Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. 23-20, Pittsburgh gets the win despite trailing for pretty much the entirety of the game. And I continue to be just astounded that Marvin Lewis still has a job after what happened in that game. The Bengals led 17-0. Steelers get a field goal before the half. It's 17-3. And even 20-10 after three quarters. But then the Steelers with 13 points in the fourth, and they end up winning. Now, as is typical, I guess, between these two teams, a lot of penalties. 20 combined penalties for 239 yards. Bengals had 13 of them for 173 yards. Steelers, 7 penalties, 66 yards. And what continues to happen between these two teams is, frankly, pretty concerning. Now, you had a couple of different things happen. First off was Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier, who had to leave the game in an ambulance and head to a local hospital after suffering a spinal injury. And it did not look good. Shazier going for a tackle, and he went to the ground and then tried to get up, but didn't have use of his legs, which was pretty shocking to see. And he was taken to a local hospital in Cincinnati. They do have an update on his status from David Okonkwo and Joseph Chang, both doctors in the Cincinnati area. Ryan Shazier continues to be hospitalized at UC Health's University of Cincinnati Medical Center and has undergone a series of tests to evaluate his spine injury. He will continue to be monitored and treated by the neurosurgery experts at UC Medical Center until he has been cleared to return to Pittsburgh. It is expected that Ryan will undergo additional testing and evaluation over the next 24 to 48 hours. He will then return to Pittsburgh to receive further evaluation and care at UPMC. That hit's not necessarily a dirty one, but let's look at then what happened the rest of the way. So later on in the game, the Steelers were driving to try to set up a score, and Juju Smith-Schuster sets a crackback block on Vontaze Burfict to come in over the middle, didn't see Schuster, ran right into him, and was knocked unconscious right down in the middle of the field. Schuster then proceeds to stand over Burfict as he's laying on the ground, which is pretty disgusting. But you have that hit. Then later in the game on the tying touchdown, Antonio Brown catches it in the end zone and proceeds to be hit in the helmet by George Iloka coming in to try to make the tackle, helmet to helmet on Brown, who somehow hangs on to the ball, and the Steelers tie the score. So Iloka, Smith-Schuster were both suspended for a game. And after the game, you get some interesting comments. Ben Roethlisberger both sending well wishes to everybody that was injured in the game, but also kind of chalking it up to just being AFC North football. And this is, I think, where my biggest issue is with this whole thing, is that these games between the Steelers and the Bengals, and also the Steelers and the Ravens, have gotten so violent and so out of control that the refs just they don't have control over what happens. I mean, look at that playoff game from a couple of seasons ago between these two teams, in which the Bengals had the lead late, very late, and should have won the game if not for just some bizarre penalties. And actually, I'm trying to find it here. I think it was 2 years ago. Yes, it was 2 years ago, 2015 wild card game, 18-16. And it was just a complete meltdown, but the penalties that were caused by the Bengals in that game a couple of years ago were completely unnecessary. A couple of personal fouls that allowed the Steelers to get into field goal range with no time on the clock, and those penalties ended up helping the Steelers win. Then you have this game, in which multiple players have to leave the stadium with injuries, and then you've got players just chalking it up to two teams playing a very tough style of football. I don't buy that. Look at the Vikings and the Falcons. They played a tough style of football on Sunday. Nobody got ejected. Nobody got hit in the head. I think they have to do a little bit better of trying to get emotions contained in these games. Yes, it's a big game. I understand that. But there's still, even with that logic, there's still no reason for these kinds of things to be happening. And I put some of the blame on the officials not really doing a good job of controlling the situation. you could have made the case that when Schuster made the block on Perfect, that he should have been tossed from that game at that point. You could also have made the case that when Iloco went for Antonio Brown's head in the end zone, that he should have been ejected at that point. Now, I'm not putting the entirety of the blame on the officials, because this comes down to the players just focusing on playing football. Just win the game on the field. Don't commit these insane penalties that end up costing your team. Looking at the Bengals in particular, because of those just crucial penalties that they committed. But at the same time, if you're an officiating crew going into this game, you know things are going to get chippy. Set the tone early. And, you know, if you have a couple of players who throw punches, something along those lines, well, I would say give them the boot. And then going forward, those two teams will probably think a little bit better about those decisions, because, man, we can't keep having this happen in situations like this. It does not look good for the league to have games like this where you have pretty much the entire nation talking about it the next day. Media outlets talking about how rough that game was. Fans talking about how rough the game was. It's not good publicity for the league. And I think maybe even the bigger issue for the NFL, and this is one they've struggled with for several seasons, is just consistency in handing out punishment for stuff like this. Smith-Schuster and Iloka both suspended for a game. Rob Gronkowski got one game for a complete blatant cheap shot in against the Bills. So we can tie this back to a Vikings example of when Andrew Sendejo got suspended for the hit against Mike Wallace in the Ravens game. So basically what you're saying is that the hit that Sendejo had against Mike Wallace is as bad as the hit that Rob Gronkowski had against the Bills. And if you haven't seen that hit, Bills player, and forgive me, I don't know the name of the Bills player, is face down on the ground after attempting to make a tackle on the sidelines. And Gronkowski comes in pretty much unprovoked and spears the Bills player in the back of the head and knocks him out. There is no need at all, ever, for that kind of a play, and yet Gronkowski gets a one-game suspension. You have then these other plays, and Smith-Schuster, I don't view, I guess, his as bad as Gronkowski, although he did taunt after while Perfect was down on the ground, so that certainly can make you wonder as well. But you have these plays that happen in the heat of the moment during the game. The Andrew Sendejo hit on Mike Wallace trying to come in and knock out the ball. You have those plays, and the NFL is now saying that is as bad as when a player comes in unprovoked to the sidelines and spears a player who is face down in the back of the head. And you are saying that those are basically the same offense. And it's a little bit of a head scratcher. And I think the NFL could do more about this. We saw with the domestic violence issues that the league has faced in the past, where they tweaked the punishments, and they made the punishments more severe for breaking the code of conduct. That now, it hasn't stopped it completely, but it has toned it down. Is that once you make the punishments more severe, you are theoretically going to have less of these infractions. So maybe you take a play like the Gronkowski hit, and maybe you make it a 5-game suspension, or a 6-game suspension, or an 8-game suspension. Set the tone, and the players will react accordingly. Gronkowski obviously would appeal in a situation like that, but if you have a player that sees those kinds of things as the outcome, they're going to be less likely to commit those infractions. And that's just some of the personal foul, the cheap shot stuff. I did see suggested on Twitter that maybe the way to get rid of these helmet-to-helmet contact plays is by getting rid of helmets. And that is a bold stance to take to try to clean up some of these dirty hits. But I think that would open players up to more injury. Now, they certainly would adjust in tackling style, I'm sure, to avoid going at people with their head. But at the same time, it comes down to just win the football game on the field and don't have all of these extra penalties and just cheap shots. And I think you'd see people more invested in the game because I'm going to be honest. I turned it off the game last night after a certain point when you just get a hit and then retaliation. And then you're like, okay, what's next? And to the broadcast crew, Sean McDonough and John Gruden, they were keyed in on it all night, is that it just makes the NFL look bad when you have these types of situations in these games where the product on the field becomes secondary to who's going to knock out who and what is the punishment going to be. So that's about all I have on that, but we'll track the process, the progress of Ryan Shazier, and we'll see if there's any further decisions going forward with those three. But Rob Gronkowski suspended for a game for the hit against the Bills. Juju Smith-Schuster and George Iloka both suspended for a game for last night's events. We'll see if they end up having to serve those or if their appeals are successful here in the next couple of days. Before we move on, do have one more fairly substantial sports headline that is breaking here today that try to maybe get into later on in the week. Russia has been banned from participating in the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. Completely banned due to a pretty in-depth doping scandal. So that is that's going to be interesting, but just wanted to pass that along as well, as that certainly is some pretty big news. But we'll focus a little bit more of our efforts here on the local stories, but still felt like that was a relevant one to mention here today as well. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Timberwolves basketball and try to figure out what happened last night in the Timberwolves' latest disappointing loss. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You hit that guy.
He shouldn't have been standing there.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, the Minnesota Timberwolves last night fell to 14-11 after a 95-92 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. who it just so happens had lost 11 games in a row heading into the game last night. Now, there were a lot of different things that were frustrating about the game last night. That was just kind of a take-your-pick. Frustrating performance offensively. You look at Karl-Anthony Towns having 6 shot attempts the entire game, finishing with 7 points and 11 rebounds. And the fact that Gibson, Wiggins, Towns, and Butler played 36 minutes plus last night. It's becoming very evident that this team is starting to get a little tired here over a quarter through the season. And second night of a back-to-back, so that's to be expected. But Gibson, in the win against the Clippers, Gibson 40 minutes, Wiggins 38, Towns 37, Teague 35, Butler 40. And then you follow that up with last night, 37 minutes for Gibson, 36 for Wiggins, 38 for Towns, 32 for Teague, and 40 for Butler. It's too many minutes to be playing your starters consistently. And I know this was something that Thibodeau was known for in his past stint in Chicago, but it just, they don't really use the bench at all. I know Nemanja Bjelica is injured, but Shabazz Muhammad has not played over the last 3 games because of just coach's decision. He's been a healthy scratch. Aaron Brooks has been a healthy scratch for several games this year. Marcus Georges Hunt has hardly played. And we're seeing what was a big concern for this team coming into the season was just the lack of players that could play on the wing, and the lack of depth on the bench is really starting to take its toll on this team. And I don't know if this will be something they address as the season goes on, or if this is just going to be something that we have to deal with throughout the season. But that Memphis team, 7-15, having lost 11 in a row, even on the road, that really is one that you probably should come away with a win. And I don't know. It's kind of a head-scratcher for this Wolves team, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow with Cal Soderquist of the Timberwolves Radio Network, also Dan Slabaugh on Friday. We'll talk about this quite a bit over the next couple of days. I find it interesting, too, that there have been some rumors, and this might have been due to the fact that the Clippers were actually in town. There have been some rumors as to whether or not the Timberwolves might be interested in trading for DeAndre Jordan, who is apparently available as the Clippers are reeling with the injuries that they have accrued. So that kind of became an interesting topic on Twitter yesterday. And we'll maybe talk about it with Soderquist tomorrow. And probably on Friday again, but I don't really see how that would solve anything for this Timberwolves team, and it would probably make problems a little bit bigger because DeAndre Jordan's a good player. Don't get me wrong there, but this team has such a need on the wing, on the perimeter, and if you acquire DeAndre Jordan, it's going to likely cost you, at the very least, Jeff Teague and probably Gorgui Dieng. That's about the most attractive assets you could get rid of, unless they decide that they're going to throw Andrew Wiggins into the mix. But even still, I think that trade just creates a ton of problems for this team. So I would hope that they decide that that is not something worth pursuing. But I guess we'll wait and see if they end up deciding that that is something that they need in order to get it done. Stay tuned on that front, though. And like I said, we'll talk about it a little bit more as the week progresses. We are going to take a break. We'll talk some baseball when we come back. Plenty of that coming up on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes continues for Major League Baseball. Seven finalists for the services of the phenom pitcher slash hitter. They include the Dodgers, the Angels, the Giants, the Padres, the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Cubs. They are all scheduled to meet with Ohtani and his representatives to make their pitch as to why he should sign with them. And I thought it was very interesting that Ohtani is having all of this done, asking teams to come up with these proposals as to why he would be a good fit for their team. Asking, answering questions off of a questionnaire that was sent to all of the Major League Baseball teams that were interested. I like this as not only as a team do you want to know more about any player that you are potentially going to sign, like in a job interview, but also as a player, you want to know a little bit more about a potential employee. So I think it's a very interesting move, and certainly shows that he is serious about being a good player and a franchise player for whoever he picks. But this is not something you see often, and it's going to be very interesting to see where he ends up. The Giants certainly would be intriguing, considering how involved they have been in the Giancarlo Stanton trade market, putting together a proposal with several top prospects that apparently has been agreed upon in tentatively pending approval of Stanton if he would waive his no trade clause to go there. So that shows that San Francisco certainly is serious about getting back to the playoffs after a disappointing season. Still a good core there in San Francisco, but they certainly are going all in order to come away with some of the top free agents and players available on the trade market. Now, the Twins not in the final running for Ohtani, but that doesn't mean that they won't make some splashes here in the offseason. Twins have certainly been active already in terms of inquiring about the availability of a few players. They've been linked pretty heavily to Yu Darvish, which would be a big pickup. They have inquired about pitchers such as Gerrit Cole, Jake Odorizzi, and several free agents as well. So it seems pretty likely that they will make some sort of moves to try to increase the likelihood of them being near the top of the division next season. It's not going to be too hard to be near the top as you look at the rest of the American League Central. Chicago White Sox rebuilding, Detroit rebuilding, Kansas City likely to rebuild. So it basically comes down to Minnesota and Cleveland as the two teams that are most likely to come away with the division next year. So you make a few moves, mostly shoring up the starting rotation, and boom, you could end up being a team that makes some noise in the playoffs. So we are going to, at some point here in the near future, talk Hot Stove in a little bit more detail with Brandon Warren. We'll check in with him here in the offseason and see some players that he thinks the Twins could likely go after. We'll see what his thoughts are on some of the other big topics here in the Major League Baseball offseason. Now, something else that I wanted to discuss a little bit here today is just kind of the... Actually, I'm going to completely reverse course here. We are kind of coming up on the end of our final segment here today. So why don't we do this? The Golden Gopher men's basketball team is on the road, and they will be taking on Nebraska, trying to make it 9-1 as they beat Rutgers pretty handily, 89-67, in the first Big Ten game of the season. It was Nate Mason with 26. Jordan Murphy had another double-double. A nice bounce back for the Gophers after their 86-81 loss to Miami. The Gophers for the game were 6 of 15 from 3. They held Rutgers to 5 of 18 from beyond the arc. And again, that nucleus, Jordan Murphy, 18 points, 16 rebounds. Reggie Lynch had 16 points, 9 boards, 5 blocks. Nate Mason had 26, and Amir Coffey with 11. That was a good enough combo for the Wolves to get the Gophers to get the win to improve them to 8-1. They'll try for 9-1 against a Nebraska team that's coming in with a record of 6-3. And Nebraska lost to Michigan State 86-57 in their first Big Ten game of the season. So should be an interesting matchup tonight at 8 o'clock, so a little bit of a later start. But should be a good one tonight for the Gophers. We'll take a look at what else is coming up, and that is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Whoa! I don't play defense.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. Not a whole lot, but still some things on the schedule tonight. We'll start off in the NBA. Phoenix at Toronto at 6:30 Central Time. Utah is at Oklahoma City at 7 o'clock. Washington is at Portland at 9 o'clock tonight. NHL, New Jersey at Columbus at 7 Eastern. The New York Rangers at Pittsburgh at 7:30 Eastern. St. Louis at Montreal at 7:30 Eastern. Winnipeg at Detroit at 7:30 Eastern. The New York Islanders at Tampa Bay at 7:30 Eastern. Nashville at Dallas at 8:30 Eastern. Buffalo at Colorado at 9 Eastern. Carolina at Vancouver at 10 Eastern. Anaheim at the Vegas Golden Knights at 10 Eastern. And the Minnesota Wild at Los Angeles at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. The Big Ten college basketball, just a couple of games in action tonight. Number 3, Michigan State at Rutgers. That's at 6 o'clock Central Time. And then number 14, the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers at Nebraska. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. That's it. That's all for What's on Deck. Time now to wrap it up.
See you tomorrow
That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. As mentioned, we will be talking with Cal Soderquist of the Timberwolves Radio Network tomorrow, discussing the Timberwolves' loss last night, plus plenty of other things to talk about as well. We'll also talk fantasy football with John Tuvey. It's playoff time, so we'll get your rosters ready, your lineups ready, all of it tomorrow with Tuvey. If you missed any portion of today's show, myklgr.com/thescoop is the spot to go. So check that out when you get a chance. Otherwise, stay warm. Winter's here. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 3:05. So until then, have a great afternoon.